Blog Talk Radio. Welcome once again to Madam Perry's Salon, the podcast where all of you fascinating people meet, and I try to bring you fascinating people too that you will enjoy. But you know what? Tonight, all the fascinating people are you. Someone mentioned that a long time ago, we used to have pajama parties or panel shows. And yeah, it was like a party line or something, or it was like we were in cyberspace in our own little pajama party. So somebody said, why don't you do that again? And I thought, well, why don't I? And here we are. Now, I've put the word out to several people individually as well as post on social media. So let's see who calls in. Oh, and I'm your host, Madam Perry, Jennifer Perry, JP. Or you can just call me Perry. And I'm your groove mistress, your cruise director. I am happy to be here. But I'm going to start with a song by our dear friends, a rocking band in Liverpool, England, who is really blowing up, hitting some big time chart action too. Here they go. Place to Call Our Own by Joe Symes and the Loving Kind. This band is, you know, I first started listening to them about 5 years ago, got to know them on Facebook and social media. Not only are these guys rocking, and listen, they deserve, they're charting higher than a lot of your regular top 20 artists that we know. I can't think of all the names right now, but I will bring them to you later in the show. However, they are also being played at the games of the Liverpool Football Club. Their music is being played during the, I guess, halftime. And I can't wait till they come to the States. I'm so excited. So anyway, to be getting messages from James Breen, the man on Facebook who got me, him and his buddy James Spring, are the ones that finally conked me over the head and made me realize I need to go to a steampunk con at Wild Wild West Con. And to say it changed my life is no joke. So the next one's coming up in March. This time it'll be the second weekend in March. He's telling me I need to go ahead and get my room. The other thing is that this year's theme will be the Roaring Twenties, and y'all know how I love that. You know I do. So, the number here to the studio, if you don't know, is 646-716-9922. That's 646-716-9922. Blog Talk Radio assures me that it is in the continental U.S. And so if you've got some good news to share, call and share it. If you got something that you're confused about in the world and hope that some of my other wonderful listeners can help you out, bring some clarity, or just commiserate with you, call. If you've got something you're excited about, a new business or a new part of your business or something, or your family or yourself personally, let me know. Let us all know. Give us a call, 646-716-9922. So let me see. I think I'm going to play some more music, or should I just play a story? You guys are so much fun. I know what we can do. My friend Chris White, who was one of the original zombies, he's been on here with his music, as well as his wife, Vivian Boucherat, and she's a magnificent woman. She's a musician, a singer, an artist. And when he was on, his son had found all of this music he had written. It was several CDs worth of music, and encouraged him to go ahead and record or re-record and put them out for the public. So this is one of the songs, and it features the singer, you'll recognize the voice, Colin Blundstone from The Zombies. The song is called When I Was All Alone. You're not all alone. You got me. So give me a call.
Never seemed to notice I was there at all. Always seemed to look the other way. Winter days were colder when I was all alone. Wasn't I surprised to feel this warm inside? The way it feels to be alone with you. So if I try to hold you, I might try to make you stay. Remember, I have tried to hold the colors of the morning sun. Tried to keep it shining when the summer day was done. So you must know that I was lonely. I was alone.
of night surprise to feel this warm inside, the way it feels to be alone with you. So if I try to hold you, and I might try to make you stay, remember I have tried to hold the colors of the morning sun, tried to keep it shining when the summer's day was done.
So, Chuck, talk to us about Fizdale being the Knicks' new coach. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I tell you right now, Ernie, it don't matter who's going to coach this team. They don't got no talent on it. And I don't really feel like talk.
That's kind of harsh.
I don't feel like talk about the Knicks right now.
You want to talk about lunch?
No.
What would you like to talk about, Chuck?
See, Ernie, I've been listening to a podcast called Madam Perry Salon. And I think Jennifer Perry, she's a great host. I mean, she got all those bestseller authors, Rostoff, and all the comedians.
What about people you that don't have rings?
Here we go again.
Real funny,
Chuck.
Real funny. But I think she's great, and I think people would love her show. She got a great laugh. She make the laugh come out of nowhere like an eagle come in there and just steal the whole show. It's a beautiful thing. It's not terrible.
No, it's not terrible. It's not terrible at all. Thank you, Charles. And before that, we heard Chris White Experience, When I Was All Alone, with, of course, the beautiful voice of Colin Blundstone. Now I'm going to play a trailer for another podcast. And don't forget, 646-716-9922. And I'll be back.
Do you like podcasts that feature high-profile interviews?
I do.
Two girls, one gold shop.
Oh, my. I think you've got the wrong end of the stick.
What sort of stick are you referring to?
Flobo voice. How are you, Flobo?
I'm sure I'm not the first person to say this, but, man, I love your voice. I am transported to LA Confidential.
Do you like podcasts that offer audio skits?
I do.
Ma'am, you also need to pay for your vegetables.
Not according to Proposition 47.
Our food debt is under $950, so we're good to go!
You like podcasts that have original music?
I do.
Had she heard what's going on?
Then I invite you both to visit www.hesaidsheheard.com and again, www.hesaidsheheard.com.
Well, my stomach aches, I salivate when I hear a bell. And it tastes like chalk and pen, so that can't be right. I feel like I can breathe and my chest is getting tight. Oh, I'm a hypochondriac, I think that I am dying. Starving may keep all up, please know that I'm not lying. My tumors are too small to show up on my x-ray. I'll go back to the doctor tomorrow, twice a day. You're not sick. Well, I have a bet. Or do I mean that I do not? I went on WebMD and saw 100 things I do. Got
Final 15, no. Rickets, Scarlet Fever 2. They're eating bacteria and on
Kelly Dwyer and her song Hypochondriac. I love that woman. All right, this is Jennifer, also known as Madame Perry, right in a pajama party in the genie bottle. And I believe some fabulous person, if I can get the door open, is going to come in and join us right now. Give me just a moment to properly open the door and welcome them. Welcome. To Madame Perry's Salon. Hello.
Hey, Madame Perry. How are you?
Hey. Chicky, it's been too long.
It has. I miss you.
Honey, I miss the heck out of you. Everybody, this is the fabulous Rebecca McFarland Kyle, known to as Becky Kyle, if you're a pal of hers. And Becky, she's a writer. She was, she first came to my attention as one of the Amazon Breakout Novel Award judges. She's an editor, again, as I said, writer, fascinating woman. I hear that lately you've gotten into a new type of skincare.
I have. You mean everything that the cats drop on me?
No, didn't you get some, what, alien mask or something?
Oh, yeah, I got an alien mask. I'm you know, the thing is, I'm thinking about using it to answer the door because I get so many, salesmen. I'm kind of thinking that I won't have to have a no soliciting thing on my door anymore. They'll all just be giving everybody a warning. Don't come to this place. She comes. She answers the door. You know, there's a Martian living there with a whole bunch of cats.
Can you see somebody just gets ready to go into their spiel, and then they see, because this face mask, and probably everybody, probably all women, maybe a lot of guys here have seen them, and they'll look like different faces. I got some that look like corgi faces, but I just haven't, I keep wanting to try it on and see what the dogs do, but I just can't do that to them right now, but because they've had a lot of confusion in the neighborhood with just cutting trees down and stuff. But anyway, but Becky looks like an alien, like that's the standard Army issue Roswell alien.
Well, I mean, damn it. You know, I put all this makeup on to hide all that, and there you go.
You've got, girl, girl, you got to be true to who you are. That's where the real beauty is. And so if I found a cat, you know I would have sent the cat to you. But I thought, you see this guy falling, cracking the back of his skull when he falls back and everything. And it's just one.
Well, you know, honestly, that we live near the mall. And we live near the Mormon temple.
Oh, Lord.
And thank heaven or hell or whatever, wherever it is, you know, the one good thing about the pandemic has been that we don't get all the door-to-door people like we used to, because it was like four or five times a day, you know, the two guys with the white shirts and you know, the Girl Scout cookies and the you know, if I could sell the Girl Scout cookies to the Mormons and at a profit, you know, I'm going to mark them up.
Mark them up and sell them.
Yeah, mark them up and sell them to the Mormons after I've sampled them. Yeah, replace some of them with crackers or something. I don't know. you know, and all those beauty product people, you know, the Mary Kay salesman is just gonna, you know, kind of wet her pants and either faint or run screaming away. So, you know, I'm really good with all of this. I don't know what the politicians are going to do. I mean, you know, they're starting to knock on the doors too. I'm the only person that's ever told their state representative to get off my porch.
Get off of my porch.
I literally did. Well, you know, this nice man comes up and, you know, I live in Tennessee. And, you know, sometimes your choice is a choice between an out-and-out crazy Republican or one that looks like he might be halfway sane. And, you know, I always vote. You know, I prefer to stay on the blue side of the ticket because, you know, I respect my rights and those of others. And, you know, there's just a whole lot of things I don't want to enable by that party. But anyway, the current state representative came to my door and he said, I'm running against the guy that was in office. My first interview with the guy that was in office, you know, he basically, I knew that I had a choice between him and another Republican. And he said, you know, vote for me. I'll do all of this. And he did none of it. He lied. And being me, I called his office and told him every time he did. And then when he came to knock on my door, you know, I literally told him, you know, the last time you were here, you said this, 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 and this. And why in the heck should I vote for you at all? And get off my porch. Get off my lawn. Get gone. So, you know, I don't honestly think he'll be knocking on my door, but...
I don't know, sister. I can't really say a whole lot about that. But...
Well, did you call me hoping for sanity or what?
No. But I tell you, here's what I do get is sorry, I just came across a picture of Paul Vatto. You know Paul Vatto? He's an actor, comedian, writer. He was on here recently. I met him through Brandy. They started off in Brandy Stillwell, and
yeah, she's cool.
Oh, isn't she the best? And she started, yes. They were in improv together. I think they worked on Mad TV together years ago. That's how they met. And he was talking about this show he had done. I guess it was one he created when he was working with, maybe it was Second City Improv, called Touched by an Anglo.
Oh, God. Yeah, I've seen it. Oh, no. Now, don't make me laugh to incontinence, okay?
Okay, hey, it's just us. But here's something else. So it's a picture of him dressed as Santa and he's making toys. I just adore him. Anyway, And he's got a great podcast, too, and he's invited me to be on it, but it's on camera, not like mine here in the dark and the sly. But I'm about to get up the nerve to go on it because he's such a sweetie. But
you could do this. You could do this.
Touched by an Anglo. I'm going to wear my corgi mask. See if it, that's what I'll do. I'll wear my corgi face mask so I can moisturize.
Are you going to invite Fiona?
I might.
You ought to bring Fiona with you, you know.
I don't know. You know, Fiona, she gets on those moods. Like, she's still at that age where she's ashamed to be seen with her parents. Like, you can just see you're breaking the fourth wall. Like, is this the stupidest woman or what? So
I have to close my office door because every time I have a Zoom call, the cats get up and moon them.
Get out. You're the second person that's told me that.
I mean, you know, every one of them, you know, I have pretty cats. I have three really beautiful cats.
Oh, you do?
They're gorgeous. You know, two blacks and a sweet little Burmese cat. And do they show their little faces? No.
No.
No. I kind of think that they don't like the computer that much. You know, mom spends too much time on the computer and not enough time with them. And, consequently, you know, they're going to show it exactly their displeasure.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or
mm-hmm.
I'm so gorgeous that they just want to look at me. But, you know.
Hey, here's the yeah, you're the second person that's told me that this week that their cats do that, come and show their behinds to the camera on a Zoom call. Okay, here's what, and I was hoping some other people, because I've asked a couple of people for some help on this,
mm-hmm.
and I thought you might be the perfect person to help me craft this phone calls from health insurance people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, and listen, we don't say, now on this show, we say a lot of stuff and a lot of crazy, funny stuff, but we don't talk ugly, okay? We don't talk hateful, we don't talk ugly, which means nobody gives out anybody's age or birth date without permission.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right.
But anyway, because of that, I get these weird calls now, they want to come over.
Whoa.
And check on me. And they'll say, well, we could come on. So, well, why did you come over? Well, we can check, you know, see how you're doing, you know, maybe just a little bit of a physical, check your blood. And we can check your medicines and your see how things are or how your house is. Have you been falling down?
Oh.
Do you fall down a lot? And shit like that. Okay, so this is really ticking me off. Why do you need to? Because see me, okay, I'm a city girl. When somebody's asking about coming over to check me out for my health, something that's supposed to be to help me, I feel like somebody's trying to case the joint. See what I've got to stealing? Because that comes from a long line of crooks and felons. But anyway, and I'm the black sheep of the family. I never went with the family business. But still, I keep thinking, are they here to see what I've got? They're going to see if they like my furniture, and you have any electronic equipment they might want. But they keep wanting to come and check out. So I told some girlfriend, you can help me with this. I need to be able to work them into the conversation where they say, you know, do you fall? Do you fall a lot? Have you fallen much lately? And I said, the one story that came to mind was, oh, gosh, about 20 years ago, me and my friend Teresa Garman went to a strip club. And we noticed that when one of the girls came out, when they called her, she came out on the stage and come out with, you know, flair to begin her performance. The first thing she did, she had a towel in her hand. She started wiping down the pole.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense. If somebody's got maybe baby oil on their legs or something or a tan lotion, they're going to mm-hmm. get the pole on. It's going to ruin your show. So I thought, that's what I'm going to say. Well, yeah, I did fall. It was a work injury, though, you know, and then try to get it. What were you doing? Well, the girl that came out before me, she wiped down the pole. But she didn't. I thought she wiped it down. And then when I hit, the stage fell off. I mean, fell off the stage. And thank goodness y'all made me get a tetanus shot. But I got to find a way to where it comes out little by little, you know, like a Bob Newhart kind of thing.
Oh, boy. Someday I'll tell you what I did to the computer guy. Remember all those computer scam calls? I had a guy going for 30 minutes.
Going where?
Well, they called and they wanted me to check my windows, and I kept saying, oh, they're fine, they're fine. You know, and I kept walking around, and I kept, you know, and, oh, I've got to go here, and I've got to go here. And I walked all over the house, and, you know, I just kept telling them all this stuff. And you know, everything's okay. Oh, this is making me mad. The next door neighbor's letting their dog poop on my yard, and they're going, "Ma'am, it's your windows on your computer." And finally, you know, after I did all this walking around with this guy, I said, "Oh, windows? I don't have windows. I have a Mac." And I wish I could have recorded him cursing in whatever language it was, because his head was literally exploding on the other end of the line, and I'm just like, and I'm laughing so hard, and he's screaming at me, and I finally hang up on him, and I hadn't gotten any calls like that forever. It was brilliant.
Well,
but,
you know,
you've got to do something like that. That you know, yeah. You fell off the pole, or you know, the only time you do that is when you're drinking excessively, or I was trying to break into my neighbor's house, you know, you're a peeping Tom. You know, you're peeping in your neighbor's window because they're doing something interesting. You know, or maybe you're trying to watch. I've got it. You're an elderly woman, and you're stuff's being cut off because you're poor, and you're climbing a ladder to look over in your neighbor's window so you can watch his HBO. And you don't know what HBO stands for. You're kind of worried about that because isn't BO body odor? I mean, you can run for this for miles if you want to.
That HBO, that sounds like something foreign to me. Yeah.
Yeah, HBO. Or is that a hobo? Is that something short for a hobo?
Yeah. My husband says, just tell him you still... Tell them you're not dead yet. You still drive a 6-speed manual transmission. They're going to skip. If you come up with something direct, they're going to talk over you. But we still need to. So you got to get them, and you got to do it in a sly, slick way. You're one of the best writers I know. You know how to. Oh my gosh! While we're on the air, tell people one of my favorite books, Fanny and Dice, that you wrote. Please tell people what it's about.
It's about Persephone and Eurydice escaping from Hades' realm and ending up in the Wild West. And these poor Greek goddesslets are running around in a mining town, you know, trying to find some place where they fit in. And, you know, Fanny, of course, is Persephone, and Dice is Eurydice, because the natives in this South Dakota mining town do not understand Greek very well. And these women who have been in hell, they do have English because they've talked to, you know, the people that have come to Hades' realm. So, you know, they have talked to English-speaking people, and they know the language, sort of. And, you know, Persephone, Fanny, goes all out. I mean, she's ready for a good time. She's gone to work in the museum. The saloon.
Saloon!
Yeah, she's gone to work in the saloon as a hooker. I'm not going to tell too much more of that.
Girl's got to turn a butt, baby.
Yeah. Well, Eurydice Eurydice Dice is playing the piano in the saloon, and the rest of the time dressed as a little boy because, you know, she's trying to keep her virtue. And it's just, it's interesting, and the sequel is coming out soon, and it will be dedicated to the lovely and talented Valjean Jeffers, who passed this year. So I'm working on it, and I was almost ready to get it done and get it out, and that hit kind of hard, and I'm just sitting on it for a bit.
Because if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have known Valjean Jeffers.
She was the best, just one of the most amazingly talented women. She wrote wonderful books. Her vampire series is next to none. She's Mona Livelong, the vampire, is just stellar. And she is hugely talented. If anybody is interested in that type of fiction, Valjean, V-A-L-J-E-A-N-N-E, Jeffers, J-E-F-F-E-R-S, brilliant, talented, wonderful woman, and her work should live for years after her. Please help make that happen.
I mean, Milton Davis, another fantastic science fiction writer to whom you introduced me, I had mentioned it on Facebook, and I just, my heart. What a magnificent woman, so talented.
Yeah, she will be remembered for many years. She's just amazing. And somewhere up there, she's telling stories. You know, I just know it.
And, you know, she's also another magnificent writer that passed away, I think, about a month ago. But I learned this from, Tina McElroy Onsa when she was on. she hasn't been on here about a year, but she had mentioned it on Instagram. I know it was Valerie Boyd Jackson. And I know her because you know her?
I've heard of her. Yeah, I've read
Wrapped in Rainbows about Zora Neale Hurston.
Yeah.
And I saw her went to the Georgia Author Awards, Author of the Year Awards, and she got an award for that. I bought it from her. It was autographed, that book. I didn't know anything about Zora Neale Hurston. I just thought, I was just so fascinated with Valerie Boyd Jackson that I had to have that. Zora Neale Hurston is just a magnificent. It's just an astounding book. What her life was like and how she worked, studied anthropology and.
She was a multifaceted, multi-talented woman. And biographies are so hard to make someone live on the paper. You know, it's so many times if writing a good biography for a person is a skill, it's a gift because, you know, people don't want to read history. It's important to write a biography that you can envision, you can hear the person, you can envision the person on the page, and you're pulling with them as their life unfolds.
Ah, I like the way you describe that.
That is a gift. It is better than gold, and those kind of books stay with you for the rest of your life.
Oh, indeed they do. Yes. Wow. I love. Say that again.
Basically, you're not writing a history. You are making their life unfold before you, It's like a movie in a book, and you're making the person come alive, Paige, and you're seeing their life as it transpires and comes to its fulfillment.
Pulling for them, pulling with them. Yeah,
you're pulling with them. You're seeing their challenges, their sorrows, their joys, and you want them to succeed as you're reading their biography, even when you know they already did. You know, it's just that those kind of really well-written biographies are hard to come by.
Yeah, so true. So true, and what a joy when you get them. You know, Paul Myers was on here a couple of years ago, and he's a good writer of biographies. And I would think that would have to be some of the hardest thing to do is to go and study somebody's life. I don't know if it'd be more difficult when they're living or not, but I don't know. You can't be biased. Haven't you ever read? I have read some biographies where I felt like the writer just did not like the person, and it just ruined it for mess it up.
Well, everybody at least once should have a history class where they write a biography, of a famous person or someone they knew or whatever, because the skill to trace a life and a timeline is useful. It's a useful research tool. It's a useful logical connection tool as a writer. And it's useful just to have the ability to assemble language that way. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know whether they do that anymore or not, but, writing a short biography, even as a business person, for instance, I'm retired now, but when I worked for the Department of Commerce in Oklahoma, one of my jobs was to write biographies for speakers for an event. And, just a short, maybe 50 to 100 words to sum up their life, but to make it more interesting than, what am I trying to say? More interesting than just, he was born and he got educated here and he went into business here and he had this family and he died kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need to pull up something that's more, for instance, take my grandfather. He was the first Ford dealer in Western Oklahoma. Started with Model A's and went all the way up to pass the Mustang. And if you ask him what his favorite car was, it was still the Model A because it was the first one. It was the first time he was on wheels and, instead of walking or riding in a wagon. And, he wasn't looking at the back end of a horse. he was on wheels and he wasn't looking at the back end of a horse and dealing with the byproduct as well sometimes, but it's that kind of thing that introduces a speaker and makes them live. Mm-hmm. Or makes them live even if they're not here anymore.
Yes. Yeah.
So, it's important to not make this a piece of paper that yellows and dries at the edges. It's a memory that impresses itself in the reader's mind that they can share later on.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that's good that you may want to consider sometime is oral history. You know, where an interviewer starts out, you know, basically with the basic facts, and then elicits them to tell stories about their life.
Because
you would be very good at that. And, you know, recording oral histories is a way to keep family members and beloved people alive. You know, one of my funnier uncles, great uncles, a great great uncle, John McFarland, did an oral history, and he was kind of a rascal. He was the guy that told dirty jokes at funerals when everybody was starting to cry and getting all soppy. You know, he was the guy that said, you know, well, you know, the Scotsman, you know, was given a gift by a friend, you know, that you can pour this bottle of fine scotch on my grave when I die. And he said, do you mind if it goes through my kidneys first?
You know,
to a 7-year-old kid at a great aunt's funeral, and I bust up. You know, I bust up at this relative's funeral, and everybody's looking at me, and Uncle John's sitting up there beside me just grinning like a fiend. Everybody knows he did it, and I'm in trouble, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm laughing at a funeral, and I remember this now, because if I can make somebody smile at a funeral, if I can bring up some memory that brings some joy instead of having people sob their eyes out, it's a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is how character is built. This is how character is structured, and how life is made better.
Yeah.
In person and in spoken and written word as well.
And you know, too, let's talk about oral history. I find myself lately so much thinking about grandmother, great aunts,
mm-hmm.
and what their life was really like. I wonder so much. I know what they did, basically, but I want to know more of what happened, what they felt like, what got them to where, why did they choose maybe who they married or if they didn't get married?
Mm-hmm.
Just all kind of little things I wish I had known about them.
Yeah. I wish somebody had written it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the important thing. It's important to remember to have those details for posterity if you can.
Well, speaking of posterity, I am so glad, so grateful that there will be a sequel to Fanny and Dice, and I hope you will be I hope you're going to be telling us about it here.
Oh, yeah.
At Anna Perry Salon, because it's just the greatest book. And
it was
like
number one in a girl's prison, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? You know who else does that? I mentioned to Jen Lancaster. Don't know if you read Jen Lancaster. You have, you know.
Yes,
and
yes.
I was, oh, my God, I love her books. Bright Lights, Big Ass. Bitter is the New Black, or Why You Shouldn't Take a Prada Bag to the Unemployment Office. All of hers I love so much. And when I finally got her, when I got her on the show, and I talked to her before the show, before we started, and she said, I told her that. I sent some of yours and some of hers. And she said, oh, I do that all the time. I send them to women's prisons all the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, a book can go to 20 or 30 women in a prison, and they can sit and talk about what they've read and find some connection.
Mm-hmm.
words, experiences, words, whatever, give people connection. And, you know, there are women who have learned to read in prison, which just shocked the crap out of me when I realized how, in some ways, you know, it may not be the criminal justice system that's the problem. It may be the education system that's the problem with incarceration, because so many of the education levels, you know, maybe eighth or ninth grade to achieve, maybe not even that, maybe not even a decent level of literacy in either math or English or science. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these girls are getting their GEDs in prison. These girls, women, whatever, they're getting GEDs, they're learning to read, and reading, even sharing a book and discussing a book, gives them a connection with each other and helps them maybe to understand even parts of the book that they didn't understand themselves.
Yeah. Wow, and you know, that's the thing too, when you just share, I thought to hear that people learn to read, that's wonderful. I've always thought that would be one of the greatest things I could ever do in my life, would be to teach an adult to read, to teach anybody to read. I think you know, you've given them such a wealth of information, a way to live their life better, a way to entertain themselves better, everything from not being cheated on a bill or anything else to
you open up a whole new world. I was a slow reader going through school. I was born with cataracts, so I had to have, and I'm legally blind, I had to have cataract surgery before I was five to, you know, be able to even see, because if they hadn't removed the lenses from my eyes that were clouded up, I would have just gone blind.
Cataract surgery at five?
Before. Started at before three and a half and went to that, or three and went to five. So, you know, it was difficult for me to read. Add to that I was left-handed, and, you know, everything in school was just kind of backward. And I was in the lowest reading group in first grade, and I was struggling. I hated Dick and Jane. Hated them. And my mom gave me a subscription to Dr. Seuss, which, if you really think about that, explains a whole hell of a lot about me now. Yeah, she's a weirdo. But I started tearing through those Dr. Seuss books. I was reading, you know, and by the time I started moving up in reading groups, and by the time I got out of third grade, I had progressed from the slow falling asleep, pardon me, in one case with one of my fellow classmates eating boogers. it was bad. It was that reading group was really bad. And, you know, I might have had to do a grade over if it hadn't been for Dr. Seuss. You know, left-handed, couldn't see, you know, mainstreamed in the local school. And, you know, all of a sudden Dr. Seuss just opened the world. And by the time I was in third grade, I was reading to the younger kids. And the first book I read to a younger class was Green Eggs and Ham. You know, I am Sam. Sam I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. And, you know, I got applause, and I thought, you know, this is wonderful. And and I got a fifth grade teacher who turned around, and we had just gotten a library in the school, and my fifth What are you doing, you little beast? Are you stealing my shoe? I have a cat stealing my shoe. But anyway. We'll talk about them some other time.
Yeah, we'll have a cat night, okay?
Yeah, well,
I have no idea.
My oldest cat has fandom all around the world because of a piece of Facebook called the Kitten Report, and we're just not even going to go there. But, by fifth grade, I had a teacher that, I said, well, what should I read? And she hands me David Copperfield. And that year I went through Dickens and Shakespeare and Greek and Roman mythology. And I can't tell you what else. I read something like 110 books in that year. And my whole world just came alive. Mm-hmm. And I'm still in touch with her. She's 80 years old, and she's been substituting in the schools because teachers had so much illness with COVID, and she's mm-hmm. just shown up in the schools and just teaching. You know, she rocks my world.
Okay, so she's 80. You stay in touch. She's 80. And she's teaching. I bet she gets a lot of those phone calls, too, about people wanting to come over and check her medicine cabinet.
She is married to a doctor. I don't know whether he's practicing anymore or not. But one of those, she started our class with a college level, hey, you can't have my shoe. Give it back, Jackson. Little stinker. He's trying to pull my shoe under the bed, probably for some nefarious sexual antics going on.
Okay, this was not supposed to be the episode about cat things.
No, this is not supposed to be. Well, I can't help it. I mean, you know, it's the cat's
life of Becky McFarlane. Becky. Kyle.
He's stealing my shoe again. Give me back my shoe. You can't have my shoe.
You have that feeling when you realize it. Some people I don't think ever do, and they're missing a lot, at least a lot of conjecture if they don't know everything. But yeah, that like your pets have a separate life going on, all kind of stuff going on that you people don't get, never get.
Like his sudden relationship with his house shoe. This is a very, not very much out there cat. I have two out there cats, and I have one that's just kind of quiet. And suddenly he's not quiet when I'm on the phone with you.
Remember,
he stuck his head in my shoe. Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah, remember what? Go ahead.
M. William Phelps, or Matt Phelps. He's written, I don't know, maybe 20-something true crime books. He's got a series on ID, Investigation Discovery Channel, and all those kind of things. When he was on my show, I think I had to, the dogs were barking, and I had to get him to go, might have been Julie or Benny or somebody. They'd go outside, mm-hmm. and they got upset about it and made some kind of painful bark, and he stopped the whole show. He goes, is that an animal? Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Have they been hurt? No. Did you hurt them? It sounded like they were kicked. It sounded like they might have been kicked or stepped on. And he wouldn't let it go. And, of course, on one hand, I'm happy that somebody cares that much about animals, that they hear, if they just hear the sound of a hurt animal, they're concerned. You know, and so that was great. But, you know, I'm trying to convince them, dude, I'm in Atlanta, but I'm not broadcasting from Michael Vick's house, okay? So...
Mm-hmm.
That was the big dog, his dog fighting.
Yes. Oh God.
But,
yeah.
But then again, I thought at least he cared to ask.
Hey, if I heard something, I would be doing the same thing. I mean, I'm not above saying, hey, you need to check on your baby or your animal. because, you know, they're important. They're, and I'll wait. You know, we're cool. I'll wait.
Yeah, yeah. So will I. By the way, still chatting with, this is Jennifer Perry, Madam Perry, JP, your spiritual advisor, groove mistress, and host of Madam Perry Salon, the cultural salon in cyberspace. And I'm talking to the fabulous Becky Kyle, a.k.a. Rebecca McFarlane Kyle, a.k.a. one of the most fascinating people I know. By the way, which brings to me to a couple of clients of mine that I want to mention, and one is somebody that you introduced me to, Doug Bremner, didn't you?
Yes, I did. He's amazing.
Gosh, yes. He's a doctor. He's a professor at Emory University. He's a filmmaker. And he and his sister, Ann Bremner, well known as a high-profile lawyer, trial lawyer, and she's also back on Court TV now. She was been in the TV legal analyst. The two of them have a book together, and guess who's the publicist? And
who?
Me.
You?
And
congrats.
And I got to thank you, because if it weren't for you, you know, we wouldn't have met. I wouldn't have met them. I knew who Ann was. I've watched her on TV a lot, but I wouldn't have known. You know, she repped Amanda Knox.
Mm-hmm.
And people like that. Because of that, I was kicked off jury duty last Wednesday. But still.
Oh.
Yeah. It's but anyway, they've got a book called Justice in the Age of Judgment.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they came on the show about last November to talk about it. Both of them did. Because Doug's been here about three times. That was Ann's first time. They were on together. But now it finally got a publisher, Skyhorse, and it's being distributed and marketed by Simon & Schuster to Shaddy.
Oh, that's excellent.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and God knows he deserves it. They both do. But this is about how...
He's amazing.
He is, and the nicest guy. I mean, he's so talented. But just the nicest person.
He was one, while he was in medical school, he was one of the researchers who discovered PTSD. This is critical. His first book, You Can't Just Snap Out of It, talks about how he was in medical school and he was doing brain scans of normal soldiers and soldiers who had returned with what they were calling combat stress at the time, and discovered that the amygdala, the processing for the person, portion of a person's brain that processes emotion was shrunk, and it was apparently shrunk by the trauma that they had underwent. And literally, that's where they started identifying the reasons, the causes for, you know, what for years they called progressively soldier's heart, combat stress, and now post-traumatic stress disorder. And he has a whole campus in Atlanta where he treats soldiers with PTSD, and he's just amazing. He's really good guy.
I did not know that. As many, he's been on my show three times in the past, what, maybe 5 or 6 years, or four times now, and I did not know that. By the way, two things to say. One, if you want to call in, the number is 646-716-9922. And as always, if you can't make a call, you can always message me on Facebook, either through Jennifer Maudette Perry or Madam Perry Salon. Or if you're like one of my favorite people, you haven't met Megan yet. Megan Whitlock. She was listening to this, and she had something to say about something that you said. So I'm going to read that in a second. I'm sure she won't mind. But Megan has come
Hi,
on
Megan.
As producer. Hey, Megan. Yeah. And I'm sure she's saying hey back. That was very sweet of you. So Megan produces a show and handles stuff. And also she works with me in my business, which is entertainment publicist and also social media management. And she is just a godsend. She's also my niece. So it ain't just nepotism. This woman works hard, okay? She had a baby and was working, had the laptop up there. So she's sick, her baby's sick. So she said a few minutes ago, said, I just put Harper to bed. That's a little girl. Her kids are Harper and Atticus. And said,
love her already.
I know, you love her. Oh, my God, I know. She is lovable. And she says, I'm going to check it out now. And then she said, and I thought, oh, well, she's that sweet. She's probably going so exhausted, she'll probably sit down and fall asleep. She said, I died when she said Cat was taking her shoe. So we got some messed up animals.
This is seriously a meatloaf cat. He is normally, you know, the calmest, sweetest boy. I mean, he'll occasionally play with Austin, but he just doesn't mess with anything. But I'm on the phone, and he's like, he's got to take my shoe and drag it all over everywhere and have his way with it. Probably. yes, and I had another cat that did that as well.
you know, I saw something today. There's a news thing comes around, the Supporta Report by Maria Supporta ever in Atlanta. And she's talking about what's been going on in town, things happening. Or this might have been the rough draft from Colin Kelly. But anyway, one of the things that's changing in Atlanta, there's like a rock and roll, you know, an alternate bar, rock and roll bar being shut down. It's been around for decades. Also, a popular, I guess popular, they said, I'd never heard of this one, but it's what do you call it? Like a BDSM club in Atlanta.
Ooh.
Being shut down. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was one of the best places of popular, like some of the snobbier people up on the north side went there, or all kind of folks went to it. And sometimes people knew what they were doing and had somebody teach them. And sometimes they learn as you go with a couple of dangerous situations. But anyway, and I'm thinking while you're talking about this, I'm thinking, and because Megan's laughing at it too, I'm thinking, you know, it's like our pets have, they take our shoes. Oh, my God, Tybee has to have a shoe. Now, we thought he just did it because it made us run after him, and then he could make us go run around and around the living room, and then he takes us to the front door so we'll take him out. But then he just never seems to give up that shoe, and we find him under the bed. And so your guys are getting shoes. My dogs are getting shoes. I don't know. Megan has a dog now, Hank, and Hank's a very good boy. He won't mess with anything that's not his. But it's interesting. It really is.
I literally had a cat who would bring a shoe out when we had company and engage in activities with the shoe. Tony and I were in
college.
Yes, we were in college, and he brought a shoe out under the table. I'm the only female in this group, you know, group projects in college. You know what that means.
Yeah.
You know, toil and trouble and pain and sorrow.
And there's always one that doesn't do a damn thing but takes credit, so...
I've got stories about that, but this wasn't one of those groups for some odd reason. And we were all sitting at the dining room table, and the cat brings my shoe out and starts, you know, and I'm thinking, could this get worse? And the only time it ever got worse is one of our female friends was over, and she said, honey, would you like a cigarette? And we all just went nuts. But, you know, I think their job is possibly to keep us humble. You know, clearly, you know, I'm feeling like here I am. I'm having an interview with somebody who has interviewed people far above my level in writing, elocution, anything else. And, you know, I'm keeping her laughing, which is good. Either that or she's faking it, and she's very good at that. Or she's very good at that, rather. But
what was that cat's name?
I think that was Merlin.
Okay.
Wasn't it Merlin that did the shoes, Tony? Yes, it was Merlin that did the shoes.
It's too bad that Merlin didn't have the opportunity to have an OnlyFans account, because you could have been monetizing that like mad.
I am shocked. I am literally shocked at how I probably should have been paying more attention to the kitten report, because I can't tell you how many people know Austin from this thing.
Oh, my gosh, your cats are famous.
That's kind of frightening, but yeah.
I mean, yeah. Like,
I mean,
after Fiona and I drove to Tucson March for the steampunk for Wild Wild West Con, and she just really came out of her shell there. So, yeah, it's like people know. People, and your cats, people know them.
Mm-hmm.
How could we not with all these stories? Oh, talk about the flowers that I sent you.
Oh, thank you. They were lovely. And
I didn't mean to, like, self, you know, like me, but I mean your cat wanted them.
I had to hide the flowers from my cat. I had to put them up high and to keep them safe from the cat, because the cat attempted to, shall I say, he tried to eat the flower arrangement. Please don't eat the daisies. Fortunately, you did not send anything that is cat poison, but I still didn't want him to eat it. And I still have the planter.
Oh, that's part of our master plan, the tour bus.
Yes, I love the tour bus. Tony,
Becky
actually,
and Madam on the road.
Tony has actually, I need to send you one. Tony has actually 3D printed a Volkswagen, you know, that old-fashioned funky Volkswagen bus that's a pencil holder. It's got like 18 slots in it for your pens and pencils, and it's great. It's adorable.
Isn't it great to have a man that can do stuff?
Oh, yeah. He's multi-talented, and, you know, he's good at putting out fires and, you know, retrieving cats from the top of door sills and all kinds of interesting things, you know. Aside from being far more computer literate than I am, which is highly useful as well, he's a good guy.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yeah, Denton's building a deck in the back, and I'm helping. Well, sometimes, but not like he's doing it. He's doing the hard work. But and also Brandy Stillwell. Let me get back, because I want to give, and you too. If there's somebody you want to give some love to or some shout out about what they're doing, say it now. Brandy, she's done improv with Second City and the Groundlings, and that's how she created her character Sasquatch Detective, Tanya Lightfoot.
Oh my God, that is the funniest book. I mean, literally, this is something you should not read while you're drinking water or any kind of beverage, because you'll spew it on the book. And, if laughing makes you want to go to the bathroom, older ladies, you definitely want to be close to one to read her book. It is It is at least a 3 or 4 pee break book, I promise you.
None of this is going according to plan. Oh my God, how many things could happen to one woman? And every time, and I did not read it straight through. I keep skipping around, because I want to make it last longer. So I'll skip around, read a couple of stories, and let me tell you the stories about Ron Jeremy, of course Betty White, Charlie Sheen, George Michael, These are people, see, Alex Borstein, these are people that she knows, that know her, that have worked with her. And because she loved Betty White so much, every time she had Betty, she would cast Betty on, what's it called, Family Guy, and said at the end, Betty would come over to her and just hold, you know, hold her, pet her arm and say, now, Brandy, you've got to keep helping me get these gigs because, you know, I've got a lot of animals to feed. Like,
oh God.
My heart, yeah. But
that makes me want to cry. I remember that.
I know she loves it. But I said something to Brandy one night. She called, and because I was been working with her to promote her book, None of This Is Going According to Plan, which I'm so grateful that, you know, she trusted me. You know, that's like trusting somebody with one of the most valuable things you'll ever have, like your child.
Your baby,
cat. Yeah. And so I was so grateful.
This is your brainchild.
Oh, yeah, that's her brain. Yeah, and these are true stories. So she would talk, sometimes we'd talk on the phone at night, and she would keep me laughing. And I said, I can't believe you're not doing stand-up every night. She goes, well, no, I'm not a stand-up comic. I'm a storyteller. I do improv. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say I didn't understand, you know, wasn't paying attention. It's just that you keep me laughing so much. Well, you know, it's like I'm in tears. I have to make her stop for a while. I let me compose myself. And so I guess we were talking about, so she went with a friend and hit up an open mic at a club in L.A. where she lives. And then she said it was great. She killed the first time. Then there was another one. She said, wasn't that great? Then another one. Well, now she's starting to get, she is booked. A friend of hers told her to go to the Comedy Chateau and do an audition. She did, and she's booked on Thursday, October 13th, 8 p.m.
That's great.
So I'm going to be sharing this picture. She told me, she says, now I'm not giving you this to promote or anything. I'm just letting you know. And I said, are you kidding? This delights. I feel like a fairy godmother just hearing about it, you know, even though I didn't do it. She's the one that's funny. She's the one that got the nerve to get up on stage and do it and go to an audition. So I am just so proud of her. So I'm going to be sharing this. So anybody in Los Angeles, Deanna Bellarose, all of my other friends that might be listening, Jackie Monahan, everybody I know that's in Los Angeles needs to go see her because she's a funny woman. And she's just one of the nicest people I'll ever meet, but very, very funny, very talented. So, and this will be
Are they going to record this? Are they going to record this?
I don't know, but most comedians, you know, record themselves. When in 93, when I took a stand-up comedy class, and I know it was 92, 93, because recently I found my book from the class I took, and yeah, they always say record yourself so you can see, you know, what worked, what didn't, was it your timing or whatever. So I know she records them, but she, I haven't gotten to hear any of them, but yeah, this will be great. She's quite a storyteller, and so many of her stories are true that it's just like it's like they were just given to her. I know it's crazy, probably not so fun when it happened, Brandy, but they're hilarious.
Literally some of the best stories are when you've had your pratfalls in life. You know, and if you can. One of my life mottos is sooner or later, I'm going to look back on this and laugh. And for the most part, that is true.
Yeah, well, I found if you look back and laugh, then you're the winner. And, you know,
absolutely.
But the people that hold a grudge or want revenge, just make yourself sick. You know, what's the expression? It's like drinking poison, waiting for the other person to die. So,
yep.
And I believe that. So anyway, well, Becky, I've got to apologize. You were so kind to call in, and I've kept you on here for an hour. But you're so much fun. We haven't talked lately, so
I have missed
you,
and it's a joy to talk to you every time. So if you ever need to talk to somebody or need to have a pajama party, I'm here.
Okay, and you know. People, if you're new to the show, you may not have heard this yet, but I've been talking for years about my dream is just to get a tour bus and just go across the country, and people can get on, whether they're writers, whether authors, poets, musicians, comedians, whatever they do. And we'll just go from town to town. Like, there's a lot of podcasts that go out and do live shows, like Welcome to Night Vale or Leyendas Legendarias. But and they go perform in theaters and so forth, or concerts or whatever are held. But this would be one we would take on the road, and there would be some people that would get on in one town and get off in another, so it could be a flowing of cast. And I want to do this with Becky Kyle. I've got to do
it would
with
be
Becky
like
Kyle.
A Chautauqua, because that's what they used to call them.
A what?
They were traveling shows where they moved from town to town and had, you know, like even people like Mark Twain and people like that coming to read for them and perform. And, you know, they had some amazing performances, just, you know, the shows moving from town to town and cars and wagons and whatever, and pitching a tent at the town and charging admission.
Oh, and it was called what?
A Chautauqua. Chautauqua, I believe.
Okay.
Just an opportunity to learn and grow and do.
I can dig it. All right, my sister. Well, thank you so much. I really have missed you. And I'm just so glad I know you. I'm grateful for all the people I know that I've met through social media or through the podcast or through other people's podcasts or work. And was it Shakespeare that said, I am wealthy in my friends?
Indeed. Indeed.
So
you got to have
think,
friends.
Oh, seriously. Said Boogie Klingman and Bette Midler. But I think at this point, rather than go out with my song, Everybody's Got the Swing, I can only think of one other song that would be as much fun. And this is by a guy that I've gotten to see a couple of times lately and got to meet him, Bruce Sudano. You know Bruce?
No.
I think I first heard him in a group called Brooklyn Dreams back in the 70s, 80s. But he's a songwriter for a lot of people, Alive and Kicking, and, you know, the song Hold On, Oh, Just a Little Bit Tighter Now, Baby. He's written a lot of famous songs with or for other people. And then when he was, I think, on the label Casablanca, and he was writing songs, mm-hmm. and they had this girl songwriter, a singer, who had just come back from a long tour in Europe. She had been in Germany mostly. And they got together, wrote a song the first day. Heck, this might be the song they wrote the first day. And then they later got married. And her name was Donna
this?
Summer. Donna
oh, my
Summer.
God. That's how I know
Bruce.
That name. Oh, my gosh.
Because he's been on the show twice, maybe three times. And, yeah, and I've got to see him perform before the Zombies last year and also a more intimate concert at Eddie's Attic in Atlanta a couple of months ago with my friends Mike and Ann Witt. You've got to see him live, too, but he is just such a talent. He said, somebody asked him one time on a radio, said, why would Donna Summer marry you?
Oh, my God.
I think of what a rude question he says. I just looked at him and said, because I'm irresistible. I thought, perfect. And he is a charming man. And so I'm going to go out with Bruce Sudano and Bad Girls. And this is Jennifer, Madam Perry, fabulous Becky Kyle.
You see, I'm out.
We love you. We love you, love her, Becky.
Picking up all kinds of strangers.
Right
is right. You can't score if your pocket's tight. You want a good time. You ask yourself who they are. Like anybody else.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
They come from near and far.
Here we go.
Bad girl.
Bad girl.
Talking about the sad girl.
Bad girl.
Sad girl.
Bad girl.
Talking about the bad girl. Now it's Friday night.
Trip is high. Go.
Sun gone down, and they're out to dry. Fish high, legs look high. Do you wanna get down?